Yeah, so I don't know, I just want to talk about, how you grew up in an Egyptian family
Yeah,
and,
sure.
came to be where you are now, which is insane. And is it Abasi?
That's fine. I've been saying Abessi.
Abessi?
Abessi, like that's how like my dad says it.
Abessi? Okay. I never knew how to,
That's
so
okay.
good to know.
Nobody, no, I don't think anybody knows how to
Oh, of
say
course. I mean, so, like, I'm sure all the brown folks know, but are better.
a
Or at
little
least
bit.
would
I,
ask.
yeah, Abessi, Abessi, Abessi. But like
Abessi.
every teacher since kindergarten is like Abassi.
Abasi, yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so Amir Abessi.
Yep.
Yes. So I know you grew up on the East Coast.
I did. I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia, and I always say that it was the capital of Confederacy at some point, you know? And I think like maybe in the late 1700s or late 1800s. And like it's significant because it's like, how did my dad get there? You know? Like I ended up finding out later on like what his journey was to get to Virginia.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, Dad, like this is the place you chose.
What?
Like,
Why
you
did
know,
he?
like, well, so he, my dad, after college, he graduated college in like 66 from Cairo University, went to Beirut, Lebanon as like an engineer. He was there for like 5 years, and then the civil war happened. They had like a civil war,
Oh, okay.
right? So he goes back to like Egypt, like probably in the early 70s, like 71, and he's like, okay, I want to go to this place, America. And so he actually, like, I think he did a lottery. There was like a lottery
Oh,
visa,
yeah.
and he got it like immediately. This is
That's
like
dope.
back in the day,
Right.
right?
It's hard to get now.
Oh yeah, it's like
Yeah,
it's probably impossible. It's
impossible.
probably
Yeah. It's
impossible
like
now.
years long
Yeah,
waiting list, I'm sure.
post Trump too. Like I can't
Oh,
imagine.
yeah.
But he like I don't know how he finds out to go to some place called Pasadena. So he goes to Pasadena, but while he's on the flight, I believe. From like Egypt to America, he meets like this dude whose family's Egyptian family that's already settled in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
So funny, he stays in Pasadena for like, I don't know, 9 months to a year. And then it's like, I want to try something new and goes to Chicago. So he actually goes to Chicago, but like in the wintertime. And it's
Oh.
like, that's,
Death.
yeah, like it's
Hell
death
on
and like
earth.
somebody who's like, you know, from Egypt, you
Right,
know,
yeah.
and then was like, nah, I'm cool,
Yeah.
fam. And
Yeah.
then I guess he like reaches out to the people in Virginia. And I don't think he was asking them to like sponsor him or there's just, he's just like, how's it been? And he's like, well, I like it. You know, I told you my
Yeah.
family's already settled here. And that's how he gets to Richmond. Like, I think that was like 72.
Is there a big Egyptian
There
community?
wasn't. I think it
Okay.
was like a couple Egyptian families. Like, and when I say a couple, like probably like
Yeah.
five, maybe like 5 to 10 Egyptian families, you know. I feel like back then, the only way that you would find people is like if you're going to the mosque or whatever your denomination is, or
Yeah.
you're just people are like, hey, I met an Egyptian family,
Right.
you know.
And then y'all all become family, basically, at this
Yeah,
point.
that's it. I
Yeah,
mean, like,
yeah.
not to get off topic, but
No.
for a long time. I remember like in the early 80s, and I'm dating myself obviously, but we like every weekend we were at somebody's house, you know? And I'm always was like, are these like our relatives? And it's like, no, it's just
Damn
my,
near, though.
yeah, it's just
Yeah.
my damn near, you know? It's
Yeah.
like my parents, they're basically my parents' friends, you know? And they're like, you know, Egyptian, just Egyptian families. And it was also interesting when I think about it like later on, I'm like, ugh, like I guess my parents really didn't try to like branch out, but I guess that's
Yeah.
what happens, you know?
I'm trying to hold on to that like same sense of community I think, you have when you're growing up and
Yeah,
yeah.
and I, my guess is they were probably like, oh man, our kids, they're gonna get sucked into the.
Oh, yes, American Western ideals and they're going to
Exactly.
forget their culture.
Exactly. And I think that's like probably what they were really thinking. So they were
Yeah.
like, nah. And little did they know.
Yeah, right. Well, so how are you introduced to hip hop and like how did you become to love it so much?
Okay, so I probably give my older sister, who's 5 years older than me, props for like kind of putting music always like she was just always listening to different types of music, and I think she was also watching MTV, And I kind of, like, I'm trying, like, it's crazy. Like, people have asked me this question so many times, and I'm always trying to, like, pinpoint the exact moment.
Yeah.
But I think I just was, I gravitated towards, like, music and hip hop culture, right? And like, it's crazy because I'm like, is it Tribe Called Quest? Is it, because I remember my sister used to listen to NWA. That was before Tribe. Mm-hmm. Was it late 80s? I really don't know. But I just also remember thinking to myself, like, shit, I love the energy that this, like, culture has, right? That the music has, you know? And so, like, I don't know. I kind of wish I knew when the exact moment was, but there was no. It was just, like, I loved it. Like, it's, like, probably late 80s, early 90s. I was just taking it all in.
Yeah. Did you feel, like, a sense of belonging? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, I tell people all the time that hip-hop gave me my first identity. I felt like, wow, this is kind of who I am. I'm, like, from this hip-hop generation, you know? This is before, like even my Egyptian culture was something that, like, I was, like, comfortable in the skin, yeah. You know?
Were you, like, a rebellious kid? Like, were you, your parents were trying to force it on you, or, and you felt
no, I wasn't, I don't think I was rebellious. They didn't force it on me, but they sure, like, I started going to Egypt in, for the first time in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, 5 years old, and we would go, like, every other summer. So, like, 85, 87, 89. And so I think they were like, oh, no, you're going to get this cult, like, you're going to get this Egyptian culture, mm-hmm. you know? But I don't think they forced it down on me. Even, like, when I think about, like, my faith, right? They didn't force that down. They didn't force that on me either. I think they were like, hey, look, this is your heritage. This is your roots. You need to be familiar with it because there's all these cool little cultural values that you'll learn from it.
Right. And what were some of those?
I think just, like, the sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, like, immigrants are always, like, pride themselves on, like, you know, we, like, we care very much about, like, other people, and, you know, we're giving, you know, not saying that other cultures aren't, but it's just, like, a very hospitable culture.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw that from, like, my father. My father had a laundromat. And I used to watch how he dealt with people, you know? And, like, my dad had laundromats in the hood. Like, in the hood. I almost said hood. Like, in the hood, you know?
And he seemed like probably a very welcoming person.
Very welcoming. You don't even have enough time. Like, I have endless stories.
Yeah.
You know, where I saw. And again, like, the laundromat, too, I think that's really, really, that's a part of my narrative. Like, I talk about, like, laundromats all the time. Because I also, when I would go to the laundromat with my dad, it wasn't, like, every weekend. I can't remember. It was, like, but it was often, like, I was, like, around culture, like, hip-hop culture. Like, I remember people coming into the laundromat with, like, at that time, Malcolm X was really popping because Spike Lee had the Malcolm X film.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people wearing, like, X medallions and all sorts of things like that. And just, like, even, like, people who had, like, nice cars and people who just were fresh and fly.
Yeah.
You know?
So, what do you think? I mean, we're going to have to jump ahead a little, I guess. But where do you think?
You keep going.
What really helped you in your career path? Because, like, I think, you know, you've had a really amazing and long career. And you said you were born in 80. And I just feel like the things you've done are just, like, amazing.
I think relationships.
Yeah.
So, like, my number one thing that I say is, like, it's just the relationships and how I treat people. And just, like, my love for people. I love conversations. Like, I actually yearn for conversations to the point that, like, sometimes I'm like, damn, I hope I'm not coming off creepy when I, like, I'm on public transport. I love taking public transportation. I actually don't even have a car.
Okay.
And, like, when I fly, if somebody strikes a conversation, I'm not one of those people who will put their headphones in and, like, just ignore them. So it's all about, like, I guess, relationships. Like, and I learned that from, I think, my, like I said, like, my father, just the way that he, like, appreciated, like, people and humans. And so, like, the relationships is probably the number one thing that's, like, gotten me, like, I guess, this far.
Yeah, I mean, you're very personable, and I think
I appreciate that.
Everyone thinks that too.
I think it's important. Like, I live by this quote: socialize with people in such a manner that when you die, they shall weep for you, and for as long as you live, they shall long for your company. So it's like, even if I meet somebody one time, unless I'm having, like, a really, really bad day,
mm-hmm.
like, I hope that I can impact them somehow, you know, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. So what did your parents think when you started to, I mean, what was like the first thing you did in terms of like starting your career?
College radio, funny enough, college radio. And I don't know if I thought that I would make a career out of college radio, but I thought it was super dope. Cause it was like, we're playing, it was me and my homie, this cat named Matt, and we had a show called, AM on the FM. We were super creative with that. Obviously Amir, Matt, AM on the FM.
Oh, nice. Nice.
You know, on, I think it was WLCX, and I can't remember. It was like, I'm going to mess it up. Shame on me. I should know that, but I'm also aging myself cause I'm old and I don't remember a lot of stuff. You know, but yeah, that like it was that, and I think like my parents kind of saw that because I started off going to college and then I dropped out, and
in Richmond,
and I think they knew that this wasn't something I wanted to do. But like fast forward, I got it. I was trying to get my hands onto anything because mm-hmm. It's like I have to mention the fact that like in Richmond, Virginia, there wasn't like a scene, there wasn't anything popping, right? You like New York was kind of the mecca for everything. LA really, I don't think was popping that yet. It was more, I guess, TV and film, mm-hmm. But it was like, how do I get to New York, right? How do I get to like be like meet people in the music industry, you know? And I met a gentleman by the name of Bihai, you know, I consider him my mentor. He's kind of the first person that ever really like believed in me. And like, even though I didn't have like all this experience, right. Yeah. Like managing artists or A&Ring projects or whatever, I felt like he just knew that I cared very much about the culture and like, and just like the passion around like this idea of like, Can I be in this? How do I be in this thing? How do I be in this culture? How do I be in this? You know, I never really had like an identity necessarily issue with Black culture. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I'm Egyptian, and sometimes people don't accept that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know any, I don't think I even know anybody else who's from Egypt, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, in Chicago, there aren't a lot of brown folks anyways, like in what we do.
Yeah. And I didn't have, there wasn't like somebody I could look up to. It was like, mm-hmm. You know, the people who were popping in the music industry were like the Rick Rubins and the Russell Simmons and maybe L.A. Reid. Right. I'm trying to think of more, but at that time, so it was like, but none of them like were Egyptian, you know?
But how did that like affect your sense of self?
I was like, wow, how am I going to break through?
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I've given it a lot of thought, you know, but I've also just been like very like, yo, Egypt's in Africa. Like I'm African, you know, like my dad was really big on being like, yo, you're African, like you're Black. And people now I see debate, like, are Egyptians African or right. Egyptians? And like, that's something that I don't personally am insecure about it, you know? But it's definitely probably crossed my mind lots of times. You know?
So were they supportive or did you get pushback from them once you kind of like...
Yeah, I think I got pushback. I think like any immigrant parent, yeah. There's like, they're like, what? Like, first of all, they're like, how do you even make money off of this? Because always the bottom line, more my mom, believe it or not, than my dad, is like, if you can't make money off of this, then you can't support yourself, you know? And then it's also like, but why don't you just go and get a degree and a master's degree or become a doctor, you know? You know, I spoke on a panel a couple of years ago called, I Don't Want to Be a Doctor.
Right? Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was really dope. And it was just a bunch of like brown and Black people. And we were talking about how we don't want to be, how we didn't want to be doctors. And like, you know, one was a writer and mm-hmm. is now a genius. And someone was like in fashion. And it's like, our parents assume that we should take this traditional path, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you work with a lot of like, you know, brown folks here. That's really, to me, revolutionary even now.
Oh, it's incredible.
And by here, I mean Empire.
Yeah, no, it's, I love it. I love it. You know, like obviously the founder and CEO Ghazi, is Palestinian, you know, mm-hmm. the VP of operations, his right hand since day zero, is Persian. You know, there's our director of marketing is also Egyptian.
Oh, right. Peter, right?
Moody. Oh, Moody Jones. Oh, okay. Yeah, which is crazy. You know? So it's just one of those things where it's like, it's dope, you know? It's like, and I think there's always going to be that, like, do we belong? But I think it's like, no, if your intention is good and, you know, you love it and you feel like, oh man, like this is something that like is a part of, it's a part of me now.
Yeah.
Like I feel like this, like hip hop in general, you know, like I love and enjoy all genres.
Yeah.
But like hip hop is just always has like a, it's just always going to be super close to my heart, you know?
Yeah. I think it's like an authenticity thing, and it's like how you approach it and like how respectful you are of it and how you tell other people's stories and, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And any way that like we can help tell artists' stories better, like, that's, I mean, that's the success, right? That's where I consider like success. It's just that like we can help people tell people's stories, however it is, whether it's through audio or through video, which is like my passion now.
Yeah. How does your culture appear in your everyday life now?
That's a good question. I'm just so influenced by it that like it seeps, I guess it just seeps into like me and who I am, you know? I mean, just 2 days ago, an Egyptian American, Rami Malek, won, you know, an Oscar.
Yeah.
You know,
and then he fell off the stage.
I actually didn't find that out till yesterday. Yeah, I found that out yesterday. But it's like, that's like evil eye. So like that's what the culture would say. Like he won the Oscar. Yeah, there you go. So yeah. It's like he won. That's crazy. I'm looking at a tattoo right now of the evil eye. But it's like he won the award, and it's like, oh, and then you know, 3 minutes later he falls. You know,
well, you know, we're brown people are graceful.
Yeah. Anything. Yeah. Exactly. But it's just like, damn, this dude is, he shot it out like being Egyptian. Like, mm-hmm. I'd never seen that obviously happen ever, like an Oscar winner, you know? Like, I think the only other person who's won a Oscar was Omar Sharif.
For
Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so Omar Sharif was like big actor in Egypt, mm-hmm. and then kind of, I guess, crossed the boundaries and was able to become an American actor.
That's crazy. That's hard.
Yeah, he's like my mom's favorite actors. Yeah. I don't know if I answered the question.
No, it's fine. I mean, you're also like a really motivational dude, and like your Twitter is just full of like wisdom.
I appreciate that. That's from a lot of like, I tell people all the time, like, and I actually tweeted this the other day where I was like, yo, this is like 3 decades worth of like falling on my face. This is 3 decades worth of making a lot of mistakes. This is 3 decades worth of fucking up, you know, part of my French, right? You know, I've made way more mistakes. Like people just see like, oh, the wins, or like, oh, you got mentioned in this, or this artist shouted you out or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but like I developed relationships and I kept relationships and, you know, and I kept doing this hope, you know, for the right reasons. So, I appreciate the compliment, but like I have a lot, like I do have a lot to say because I've like been through it, you know, like I've seen shitty deals. So that's why I tell artists, look out for yourself. I'm not saying don't go sign a label deal. I'm just saying look out for yourself. Make sure that deal is aligned with what you have in terms of vision, you know? And I've always been big on like, you know, think like the marathon, right? Shouts to Nipsey Hussle, right? It's not a sprint. None of this is a sprint. Like, I feel like, as crazy as it sounds, like I'm in my late 30s and I feel like I'm just getting started.
Well, like that's amazing.
No, I really feel like that, you know, because I'm like, cool, I'm ready to like to have my first film.
I mean, you just keep like leveling up though, you know?
Yeah, and you know what, no matter what, like I'll never be satisfied because I think as creatives, you'll never be satisfied. Like you've climbed, like think about
it. But ambitious creative.
Yeah, like but definitely like ambitious, like from the ambition standpoint, you know, like people who climb mountains, like they're like, all right, cool, climb the tallest mountain. Well, let me go climb this mountain that's like has the most difficult terrain or the most difficult. I don't know the terminology, but it's like you're just never going to be satisfied because you're also when I think of creativity, I think of curiosity. I'm just super curious.
Yeah,
you know, like I've never shared this with anybody, but when I was a kid, I used to be so fascinated by the Loch Ness Monster.
Why is that?
Because I was like, there's some mystery behind it. And like, there's no, like, we don't really know. Like, we think that there's a Loch Ness Monster, right? And so like, I remember like thinking to myself, like when I'm like 18, I'm going to go, I'm going to go to wherever the Loch Ness, whatever, look it up. I don't know. But wherever, like, I was like, I want to go see for myself.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like, I was just curious. And it was like, okay, I want to get to the bottom of this, you know? And it's like, but also, too, like, even if I saw the Loch Ness Monster, then what?
Yeah, right. Well, then you'd have to find the next big thing.
Exactly. That, you know, yeah. Like, I was curious of those, like, type. Like, I'm still curious. Like, I'm curious what it is to, like, tell a story in you know, in motion picture, like film.
Mm-hmm. Where does that, I mean, you've done so many things, like now you're on to producing video. Like, where does that love for video come from?
Great question. So, I've just always been fascinated by just the emotions that can be conveyed through like film.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's first laundromat, three doors down, was a video store, an Egyptian man who was a good friend of my father's. And I used to spend more time at the video store because obviously, duh, it's right. Cooler to hang out at a video store than a laundromat. And I used to like memorize the titles and fetch the titles for people before I could read.
Oh, wow.
So I just like, I always like was around, I don't know, I was just always around these like cool, I just always thought stories were just incredible.
Yeah.
Like storytelling, you know, like, whether they were action, adventure, or drama,
mm-hmm.
like, I've just always been like, wow. And I always thought to myself, like, I want to do that. And a lot of people also don't know this, like, out of high school, I wanted to go to film school. I wanted to go to NYU film school. And my parents were like, nah, like, you're not going to go to film school. So
did they
have
an alternative for you?
No, like something computer probably.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like 98. They're yeah, like, yeah, yeah, computer. Yeah. And so like I kind of suppressed that dream, you know?
Yeah.
I suppressed that dream. And so it's like I'm like slowly been inching my way to it.
Well, no wonder you feel like you're just starting.
I do. I really truly feel like I'm starting. Like I, on the weekends sometimes, even on the weekdays, I just kind of nerd out and read about everything from different lenses and how they work. And I'm reading a book right now by Walter Murch, who was like very instrumental in editing for Martin Scorsese. He was mm-hmm. Martin Scorsese's editor, and it's called In the Blink of an Eye. And it's basically studying like how people blink, right? And like the emotions that they show like with their eyes in film.
That's dope.
And I'm like super fascinated by that. So it's like, I just stay hungry for that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, yeah.
That's what kind of keeps me going.
Yeah. Gotta find those like new, I mean, it's just crazy how, where curiosity will take you.
Oh yeah. And it'll literally take you like, it'll take you around the world and back and then around the world again, because you're like, how can I go around the world, but this different path?
Right.
Or like, or with, you know, whatever, with a backpack on.
And yeah. Or like, what did I miss the first time I went?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But like, I'm so freaking fascinated by human emotion. Like, to the point that, again, like, I try not to, like, stare at people, but, like, I see certain, like, emotions, you know? Like, I was in New York probably a year and a change ago, and there was this woman in front of me, and I'm pretty sure she was Indian, she was mm-hmm. South Asian, and she was, like, listening to something, and I believe it was music, and she just started sobbing.
Mm.
And I was just, like, I wanted, like, it's, like, it was two things. Like, one, I wanted to hug her, and then I was, like, that's kind of creepy. And then I was also like, gosh, what is she listening to or watching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like so curious. I'm like, what invoked her? What was she going through, right? Or what are those things that pushed her to feel that way? And yeah. And I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the other element in New York where like you have no privacy and just crying in front of
yeah, strangers. Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's your privacy in a weird way.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I get like emotional because I'm just so grateful like for all of this. Like I cried my eyes out on the train a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to remember why. I think I was talking to my sister. It was like a 50-minute train ride, and I was like talking to my sister, my older sister, and she was like, we're super proud of you. Like you're doing all these things that like, who knew that you would be able to do this, you know, or you didn't have the outlet or the opportunity to do it. And like I definitely would like cried for like a good 30 minutes.
That's the most gratifying thing. That is what like makes it all like all the work, all the shit you got to deal with worth is when like your family tells you they're proud of you.
Yeah, you know. And my mom recently, my sister I think sent my mom an article like a couple weeks ago of an announcement of me working at Empire. Mm-hmm. And it was in Billboard, and I think my mom actually knew what Billboard was. That's most cool. of the time they don't know they don't know Complex or mm-hmm. Pigeons and Planes, or they don't know that. It's not that these things aren't popping, they're just not in that subculture, you know. But I definitely was mentioned in an interview. Shouts to Sarah Hoy, who did an article on Freeway like back in like 2000, gosh, I think like 2012. And the article that she had, it was an interview and turned into a really dope article. And it was on the front page of CNN.com for like a good 25 hours.
Wow.
And I was quoted in that article, and my mom was like, CNN? You know,
you made the big time.
Yeah, I made it. And like, yeah. And like her friends were like, CNN?
Yeah.
Like, whoa. And
it's
so
when
like,
the friends can like understand exactly. too. It's like the trickle down.
Yeah. And it's like a, you know, and it's weird. Like I still like my measurement for success and validation, I believe is probably a lot different than most people, you know? But it's just those small little things where I'm like, damn, you know, like, hey, this little voice for this Egyptian kid is now being heard.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's for 100 followers on Twitter, you know, or on CNN or Billboard or whatever, right? It's like, yeah. It's still like, it's huge. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just imagine like all the brown kids you inspire, you know?
I will say this. I always get like super excited when like a brown kid, you know, black kid pulls me aside and is like, dude, I'm so inspired by this, you know? I was actually in Maryland sometime, I think in the summer, and some dude like literally yelled out, blame the label, and was like, and I was like, oh, salute. And he came up to me and he was like, oh man, I love like everything you've done. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, man, I haven't even done anything yet. Straight up. I literally feel like that. I was like, I haven't even done anything yet. And he was like,
you existing and what you like in any of the roles you've existed in though, is just like. Revolutionary though.
I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, you know.
Because even I, like, when you reached out to me initially, you know, like, I was amped. I was
dope.
Like,
that's dope.
Yeah.
I love like finding new talent, whether you're a writer or a journalist or a podcaster or whatever, right? I love meeting managers who are like managing like a up and coming emerging artist, mm-hmm. and then like, and you know, and just giving them like a little nugget.
Yeah,
like a little nugget, or like, hey, by the way, I did it this way, don't do it this way, you know, and then watching them like, you know, go crazy and their artists, you know, blowing up or whatever. I love that. Like, I yearn for that.
Yeah.
But there is something really dope when it's like people who look like you, you know?
Yeah.
Because
even growing up, like, nobody was looked like me either, you know?
No, of course. There's, of course not. Of
so
course.
I can only imagine, you know, you growing up.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, there were...
Even less.
I don't ever remember having another Egyptian person in my school until high school. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a small little overlap with my older cousin. That doesn't count.
He's right,
my
family. You're related, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it's like I grew up with black or you're white. Even Latino. I remember the first time I met... someone who was Mexican, no lie, was in the sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
right? I think he was Mexican, I'm pretty sure. I'll never forget his name, Richard Rodriguez. And I actually wrote an Instagram post showing like some magazine like covers with some artists from when I was in middle school from my locker. And like I remember me and this guy, Richard Rodriguez, hit it off. Because we were both into My Mind Is Playing Tricks on Me by the Ghetto Boys, you know, and that again, that's like the culture, like culture meeting culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely. If that makes any sense.
No, definitely. I know you got to go, so
that's
just,
okay. If you need to keep going, you can keep going.
Just a few words of wisdom. I know that's your thing, so I don't know what happened today or this week or something. You know, you haven't let the people know on Twitter yet.
It's funny. I've been on an 8-day Twitter fast. I haven't.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I haven't tweeted anything. I haven't posted anything on Instagram, like story wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been like, I always like have like something pops up in my head. I've tweeted a lot. Like I actually looked to see how many times I've tweeted, and I've tweeted over 80,000 times. And I literally just celebrated my 10-year Twitter anniversary. And my first couple years, I wasn't active at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, wait a minute, this isn't so bad. But I'd say the tweet that I was gonna that hasn't hit Twitter yet is, I said, life is not perfect and it never will be, keep pushing through.
What made you think about that?
I just keep on. I was kind of thinking about myself. You know, I was like, man, like 21 years ago, I wanted to go to film school, and I didn't have the opportunity to. And I have something that's brewing, and I think I'm close or closer to that happening. So I'm like, yo, like, it's not supposed to be perfect. Like, the journey is not supposed to be perfect. It's not always supposed to be how you see it or envision it, you know?
Yeah. It feels like you hit your sweet spot.
I hope so. I mean, I'm staying inspired. Like, I've got a lot of things I think inside of me still that I want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And, it keeps me going, you know?
Yeah. And it's just nice to know that sometimes when you get older, you feel like your time is running out.
Yeah. I mean, I got a kidney stone, and this is relevant because I got a kidney stone November 19th. I'll never forget that date. And, I felt like I was like dying. I didn't know what was happening. And like, my health has actually been kind of weird since then. Like, mm-hmm. So far, nothing serious, but like, I was like, yo, I'm not young anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So it's like, you know, but it's like, I feel like, man, if I could just like hang around for a little bit more to like tell a couple more stories, to like share, you know, some things with some folks, you know,
yeah,
preferably the youth.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many folks who still look up to you. So, you know, it's not, you haven't lost like the young people's ear.
I hope not.
You just gotta, keep your ear youthful, you know?
I definitely try. Like, I would be lying to say that, like, I definitely try to keep my ear to the streets. Like, I'm not on SoundCloud as much as I used to, you know? I sometimes hear stuff when it hits a playlist, you know, because I'm not digging like I used to. But
I'll send you some stuff.
Thank you. Please do. I need all the new stuff. I just love hearing new stuff. But, like, for me, I definitely don't ever want to lose the, like, oh, man, like, this is, like, this feels good. This is something I never heard, you know? And this is next.
Yeah. Congrats. That's really dope.
Thank you. I mean, again, like, I'm still very passionate about this. Like, I hope the passion doesn't go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's... I mean, when you do creative shit, you know, that's, like, the one thing I think that keeps, you know, it keeps like the engine starting and stuff.
Yeah. And then I also see like some of my peers, you know, I'll see like a show, right? It could be a digital series, right? And I'm like, damn, I had that idea 3 years ago. I never executed it. You know, and it's not that it's like breakthrough, mm-hmm. but it's still dope. And I love seeing people execute stuff like that,
you
know?
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.